So what is the Lord looking for? Verse 11 is a very important verse. You know, 1975, August 17th, we had our first meeting of when CFC began. It was in my home in Bangalore. And this was the passage which I just read to you, which we considered at that time, that the Lord was not pleased with the offerings made by His people in the churches. And the preachers were just allowing them to live as they like, do what they like, and give them false assurances. There were things in their life they had not set right. There were people they had cheated. They had not returned the money. They were cheated the government in taxes and not returned the money. And the preacher said, "It's okay, it's okay. God will just overlook." Those preachers go to hell along with all those men. And God says, "I wish there were one preacher who would stand up and tell the truth." But there wasn't one. And there isn't one. And the Lord said to us at that time, from verse 11, "From the rising of the sun," that's the east, "to its setting in the west, My name will be great." That means My name will be respected. "There will be a people whom I will raise up in every nation who will offer an incense to Me, and an offering that is pure." An offering that is pure means something that is acceptable, not this cheap type of thing which they offered there. "Then My name will be great among the nations." This is the promise with which we started in CFC 46 years ago. We were a very despised group of about 3 or 4 people. But I remember those days. And then 1 or 2 would come and join us, and some others, and some would. There was a very high turnover. People would come and people would go, and people would come and people would go. And from all those people who came in those early days, there's only about 1 person left today with us. All the others went. The message was too strong. But the Lord has fulfilled His promise. From the east to the west, we have seen God has raised up churches that proclaim the new covenant. God has raised up godly men who will minister the word fearlessly and who expect nothing from the people. No money, no respect, nothing. Godly men who are prophetic. I praise God for that. He has fulfilled His word. When I look back and I see the fulfillment of this word, from the rising of the sun even to its setting, the Lord's name will be great, and an offering that is pure. So, one of the examples God gave us from the Old Testament about how we are to build His church was from 2 Chronicles. In the Old Testament stories is a pattern. Now, some of the patterns we can understand. For example, most Christians understand that the blood put out in Egypt when the Israelites killed a lamb and put the blood on the door, that's a picture. I think all Christians know about that, of Christ, the Lamb of God, dying for the sins of the world. And it's only by that blood, the angel of death did not enter that house. That's the only way. It's not because they were good people there or bad people. The blood on the door protected them. But that's about the only thing that most Christians know. But there are a lot of other things beyond that. For example, in 1 Corinthians 10, it says that when the children of Israel went into the Red Sea and came out, it is a picture of we getting baptized in water. When you go into the water and come out, that's what happened. In they went into the Red Sea and came out. It is a picture of a complete break with their old way of life in Egypt. And that's what baptism is supposed to symbolize. A complete break with our old way of life. For some people it's a ritual, unfortunately, but those who take it seriously. I know in my own life, when I got baptized in January 1961, it was in a sense the beginning of my serious Christian life. I had accepted the Lord 1.5 years before that. But I had been baptized as a baby in the Syrian Orthodox Church by my parents. And when I got converted and was accepted the Lord, people in the Syrian Orthodox Church told me, "Don't leave this church, because here are the people who need to be saved. You go out to the other brethren assembly or something, they're already saved. You know, they don't need to hear the gospel. Here are the people who don't need to hear the gospel. So if you get baptized, they'll throw you out. So you stay here and witness to them." And I listened to that argument. I said, "Yeah, that sounds sensible." Sometimes, you know, we use our human wisdom and listen to some arguments which sound sensible to us, which are against the Word of God. And so I didn't get baptized. I studied the scriptures and I saw that baptism was very clear there. You must be baptized after you're born again. And 1.5 years, it went by like that. I remember one day when I was kneeling down and praying, the Lord said to me, "Why should I listen to you? You're not listening to me." It was very clear. I got up and said, "I'm going to get baptized immediately." And then I took baptism. And in my case, my spiritual growth began from my water baptism, even though I was converted 1.5 years earlier. So I know what a difference baptism made in my life. Not the water, but the obedience. That's the point. The water means nothing. A lot of people go into the waters of baptism like a ritual. It accomplishes nothing in their life. But when people have taken it seriously, and in my case it was a breaking with an old tradition that I had, and which made that old church reject me. It's a wonderful thing when your dead church rejects you. Some people don't like that. They want to please the priests and the members of their family who belong to that church and say, "Oh, I don't want to offend them." And you find that people who have that attitude, in 30, 40 years, they'll never grow spiritually because of that attitude, even if they get baptized. Because it's not a question of taking the baptism. It's a question of an attitude towards rituals and practices that are completely against the Word of God. There are so many churches today that practice rituals and practices 100% contradicting Scripture. And there are born-again Christians who don't want to offend their relatives and parents and priests and bishops and all that. And God says, "I see you. I see you want to please man more than you want to please God. Go ahead. Live as you like." And no wonder such people don't grow spiritually. They don't get answers to prayer. Then their life is never a blessing to others. And I don't know where they will end up in eternity. They will have regret when they stand before the Lord, without a doubt. So, when we began to study the scriptures, I saw there were these beautiful pictures. Baptism, and then the pillar of cloud that came upon those Israelites was a picture of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. That's another thing that a lot of people despise. They just assume, I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit. Just like a lot of nominal Christians, they say, I believe Jesus is in my heart. There's such a lot of deception in this area. The devil wants you to imagine a lot of things that are not true in your life. There are multitudes of Christians who want to imagine that they are born again. And there are multitudes of born-again Christians who imagine that they are baptized in the Holy Spirit. Imagination will never get you anywhere. If you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, you will receive power. And I remember when I was seeking God after my water baptism for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I said, "Lord, I'll never believe that it is that you baptized me in the Holy Spirit unless you give me the same power and boldness that the early apostles had. Not the same gift or ministry or anything, but the boldness to stand for the Lord, whatever the cost." And when I saw that boldness coming in me to stand in the midst of all those senior naval officers and all to be a witness for Christ, I knew God had baptized me in the Holy Spirit. And if you don't have a power to be a witness in your place of work and to your unconverted relatives, and you're always trying to please them, I have one advice for you. Please go and fast and pray for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Don't waste your life. You'll have a lot of regret when Christ comes again. I'll tell you that. Just because you pleased a lot of your relatives, I would encourage you.